Blog Talk Radio.
At the center of the center of the center of the world, the inner chamber of the Pyramid of Cheops in Giza, Egypt, I follow the track of the Scarab. The Scarab, the ancient Egyptian symbol of longevity.
Capital I, capital I, in a consistent pattern of how my mind corrects and directs me, functioning in a haze of conflict. I am mastering my time for this cause, to show you true works of a rebel without a pause. Be of a good courage and be not afraid, look way to the left or the right and be not dismayed. In the midst of the storm, be the cornerstone, and observe the landslides and falling of the hailstones. In the terror dome, alone with robotic clones, but you're destined to see the light of the heavenly throne. The stars luminous, so I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Constellations of the sun, I and I, billions of others, one for many, reflect the nature of each other. Capital I, capital I, I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining a guiding light. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Ripped to pieces, seemingly disintegrated, but the sound died, magically regenerated. Magic, mysterious signs, unexplained, incomprehensible to the average brain. Exercise on the plane of the most highest. Quiet the physical body, emotional silence. Listen to the thought, the intuition warns of symbols in the electricity. Soon to take form, ideas are shaped in the earth from desire. Studying the seven and the house of fire. How do the numbers relate to me? The letter and my respect for fire, earth, air, water, and ether. Documents of a mentor, ancestors give us a plan. Knowledge in the mind and the body of a man. Rise like the morning sun, expressions in the universe, but the universe is one. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining the guiding light. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I. Consciousness, cultivation, it's all in the mind. Energy travels on the serpentine line. Feminine, irrational, material lust. Finding the erase, you rock us. As we strut like the Egyptian architects, in the inner reach of the Nile Valley, African intellect. Selfless, oneness with humanity. Here begins your true sense of responsibility. Respond to your ability for soul travel. Up the spine from the bile to the pineal. Jacob fought the angel and threw his thigh to joint. He fought himself to reach his spiritual conscious point. All things come from the eternal, and all things will return. Allow your soul to learn. Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
Capital I,
symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night. I ascend from the abyss, shining the guiding light. Capital I. Silent meditation. In corners of darkness, I sit in smoke inhalation, consumed by blackness and silent meditation. My legs folded, eyes closed, I see visions from the celestial Nile, infinite dimensions of me seeing the universes and orders in a faraway place, light years of travel and outer and inner space. locus coeruleus, the messages and giving you a mental picture, modern day manifestation of the scripture. As we transcend, but a visitor trapped in the physical, but I'm a psyche pondering, directing my vehicle. Motility, metaphysical reality, bodily function through illusions, images and truth, the senses, so I continue to be self. All I see in like the horse, hawk, bird, flesh embodiment of the word. Capital I, capital
symbol
I,
of longevity. Symbol of longevity.
I don't hide at night, I ascend from the abyss, shining a guide in light. Capital I, capital I. I don't hide at night, I ascend from the abyss, shining a guide in light. Capital I.
Symbol of longevity.
From the depth of space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. All I view is nothing new, just deja vu. A clue of my afterlife, a previous one before this one too. The shell of my essence, shed skin, stepping in to my photonic origin, Genesis without the gin. Garden of Eden collapsed like Nemesis, saving humans in a time lapse. Feel my solar energies and give room to me. I got nine celestial spheres in tune with me. From the underworld to this world, I use my principle. It's the infinity that's invincible. The unmoved mover, primordial heal. Still communicating with me at will. Through the arc amulet, photons they project. Like a fifth dimensional holograph that steps. Brainwaves telepathically reach the deep. Giving me revelation in REM sleep. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. Offshoot from my comedic predecessors inside a nation of beings like Abraham's children in the wilderness, willing to do what I must to survive. And all this job, animated dead that's alive around my parameters from La Brea to finesse. Ignorance is what kills you, what a nigga will do. Me and my folks, totes, busy with smoke, various hydroponics that make one joke. But no lead to smoke with a blunt and a lighter. You can come and build, but you gotta respect the cipher. We're doing too much, observation is the policy. Fool jab too much and get trapped in idiocy. Hush up that crap, put that BS on the shelf. No outside interference, just building on the self. Brain rolls off the depths of time and space with antiquity of the Sphinx. Stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. Stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. Stepping through the stargate. Clear night sky, hopeless like this tomorrow. On the California border, looking at the constellation from Barstow. Area 51, not far from here, I feel nervousness. As I create magnetic disturbances, but I get contact from way out there, out of the nowhere, a Pluto's orbit, prepare for invasions of the energies in the last hour, clash of the titans over universal power, dark signs, exercise and mystify, magical methods of power to deify, a man over the evil of degeneration and aging, my vision's not blurry, even as a centurion, walking the earth 22nd century AD, mystic. Phenomenal simplicity. Live by laws of nature, tied as a black fist. That which exists will always exist. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx, stepping through the stargate. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. My brain came from the depths of time and space with the power of the Sphinx. Power of the Sphinx. power of the Sphinx. Higher nature, overload with nature. Self-mastery, Black Dot Universal.
World Order Radio, finally, we are on the air, no doubt. All right.
There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio.
We get on into some of that order consciousness tonight.
First World Order Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m.,
we got to talk about what is taking place on the planet.
There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. First, we need to let you know we're going to be doing more shows, giving out more information on Wednesdays. Wednesday is 8 o'clock. We are now going to make this the hottest day of the week.
Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the room based on value with natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air frame that your thoughts transmits it. Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance.
Order.
System regulates to bring about specifics in the room based on value with natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the air frame that your thoughts transmits it.
You need to understand how magical this something like this every Wednesday can become. So you need to start getting your calendar right, get your schedule right. You need to know our intention straight out.
All right, so, I mean, these clues are given throughout the various languages was to piece the puzzle of this ancient mystery school back together again.
And what we plan on doing, both of us, is bringing y'all some surefire dynamite. We're going to take this level up a notch. We're going to have stuff to do here. This is not just going to be about philosophies and theories, shit that works.
You have an activated pipe man in which I produced this black chemical called melanin.
What we did was gave a hard line in the sand between the different definitions of esoteric study and exoteric study. Playtime is over.
No doubt playtime is over, and we are back once again with First World Order Radio. Your host, Dr. Elaine Bay, as well as we getting ready to bring up my co-host, Brother L. You here?
Hey, hi, I tell you, Washington East, more.
Yeah, I tell you, Washington East, more. What's up with you? How you doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. Happy New Year to you and family.
Well, happy European New Year. I was just until March.
I wonder how you're going to respond to that.
So you know how I feel that, so you know what's going on. That's one of them anyway. You know, we was in Africa amongst the Dogon and Mali, then it would be June 23rd. So whatever the case is, we getting it in, and we getting ready to go to the phone line. It's area code 302. Hopefully this is Sister Abundance Child and the God Brother Inky.
Peace, Sister Abundance.
Peace, Goddess.
Right. How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm happy to be here. I'm real honored. I finally get to be on the show.
Right. So what you got for us tonight? I know we want to get into that magazine, you know, the Ba, the breath, air, you know. So
right.
Let's get into that. And what's the concept behind it, when it came about, and what y'all expect to do with it. And, you know, let's tell the people the direction that we're going in.
Basically, it really was just like a private happening with Minister Inky. He wanted to do this brochure, you know, things that he could add when he sends his products out to people. And then he got access to this printer, And he was like, nah, I'm going to make this magazine / newsletter. And it basically was going to be his articles, everybody that he was working with and was close with, and that was it. And then, you know, he ended up speaking to his brother, his cousin Cavario, who was like the senior editor for Hip Hop Weekly, you know, major national hip hop magazine. And the brother was like, nah, man, you know, first of all, magazines don't really make no money off of selling, you know, selling like the magazine. Like you usually make it off of ads and stuff like that. But really with what you're trying to do, you really should be including everybody. And he thought about it because it was just really supposed to be print, you know, a print publication about a lot of the work that he's doing and, like I said, people close to him is doing. And then it evolved into a way that he saw that it could unify the I don't want to say so-called because I'm a part of it, but it could unify the conscious community. And so that's where I came in. I started helping out and getting everybody like you. Like the majority of people in the magazine, I actually, you know, personally called up everybody and was like, look, you know, would you like to write a monthly article on something that you already do? So that, you know, a lot of times people ask us to do stuff, but it's like over and above and beyond. You know, like we're trying to feed our families. Everybody's taking part in how they're trying to liberate people. So it was something that you've already done. A lot of people already have work. They've already had publications and things like that. And then, you know, advertisement for them as well. So it ended up turning into a publication that it could speak for the people in a way that right. we control instead of going on right. FedBook and they control everything, you know. So this right. is also a way where, as far as print, it could be in the hands of people. It's still nothing like being able to pick up something and read it. And we didn't want it to be like a trash magazine. We want something like you want to hold on to these, like they're books. I mean, like you're in the first edition. Dr. Delbert Blair's in the first edition. Phil Valentine's right. in the first edition. Some people, when we hit the streets, have never heard of y'all. People in the prisons, when they right. get the regular Rebel Rouser magazines, they've never heard of Dr. Eileen Bay. They've never heard of Abundance yeah. Child and could tap into her advice column and have ads for natural things. And you find photographs and our models look like, you know, original Aboriginal women. I don't want to see no right. with blonde hair and weaves and massively right, overweight because right. they eat the standard American diet. You know, no disrespect to them sisters who are doing that. Come on, but that doesn't necessarily – that doesn't have to be our representation.
Exactly.
Just because, you know, we coming up, you know, eating these things don't mean, like, we have to be like, thick chicks are better. Yeah, thick chicks are better, but we still need to be healthy, you know?
right, right,
right. Right. Well, speaking of that, of liberation, you know, I used to be a writer for Brother Marcus Klein's magazine, Frontline magazine, for years. So that's how I actually got my writing skills up, was actually working with him back in the early 2000s, on up into the mid of 2000. I was still writing for him, I think, all the way up until like 2006. But the thing is that, you know, that was one of the, definitely one of the quality magazines that we had, as long with Brother Javon's magazine, you know, or, you know, newspaper, which is Ghetto Thomas magazine. You know,
you're talking about Webe Ashange or who? You said
right.
Ghetto Times?
Javon, Webe Ashange. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My brother. He's
right,
one of
Ghetto
those contributors.
right. Well, no doubt. So, you know, because I used to write for him, too, in the Ghetto Times magazine.
I think
he told
me that about a year or two ago.
Right. So I wrote for both of these brothers. And so the thing is that, you know, this conscious thing, I know there was hundreds and thousands of people in which that woke up through them. So we get definitely going to see greater works, you know, with you and Minister Inky, awakening the brothers and sisters up even more. So let's tell the people about, you know, the articles and what they're going to be dealing with as far as consciousness. You touched on it with the natural products, your natural products. Let's speak about that, your natural products, and also what we can expect to see in this magazine.
You can expect to see the truth from our perspective. What we did is we said we wanted to gather up whom we feel are the custodians of the conscious community. These people have followings. These people have impacted people's life. You understand what I'm saying? So that's those are the people that we went after, as well as the people that we don't know, the people who respond on, who are responding to YouTube videos, the people who sat back and critiqued the debates and things like that. We wanted to have their voice in there as well. So that's what you can expect to see in that magazine. As far as the articles, they usually, the articles are going, are representations of those representatives that we have. So, for example, I have an advice column called Dear Abundance. It's also called Ask Abundance. And like the sister, she asked me, she said, listen, I got involved with this very upright, you know, righteous brother. He's a Muslim. He's an Orthodox Muslim. But I've been studying Prophet Noble Dr. Ali, and I've been getting a lot of information. And he was saying that the only true Islam is the is Orthodox Islam. So what say you? So my response, and she was just like, you know, she wanted to,
excellent.
You know, he's supposed to be the lead. She kind of went into that and all that type of stuff. And I said, you know, since she's asking me, and it is my advice column, I was just like, well, true Islam started with Prophet Muhammad, and he died, and I was so that would have to be his line. And so to me, that's what true Islam is as far as I'm concerned. And a brother should lead, but we women have to be wise in the brothers that we choose to lead. So choose wisely. Mm-hmm. And that
right.
was it. Like, I didn't want to get into a whole diatribe. I just stuck to the point. True Islam to me was the line of Prophet Muhammad. You know what I mean? That was it. And, you know, choose your man wisely. I don't want to be getting people in, you know, problems with their mates and stuff like that. So
right.
that's an example
right.
of what you can expect from me, as well
okay.
as seeing advertisements for... Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Seeing advertisements
if you're
for...
If you're going to send a few, that'd be 100 points right there.
Yeah.
Give thanks. Well, let me just get another interjection about that as far as my advice column. If there's anything that I cannot answer, I have an abundance network of people that I could go to. So I could call. I don't have no problem saying, Dr. Eileen Bay, the sister asked me such and such, what do you think? And then I will just put that in there, and I let people know, like, I don't know everything, but I do know enough people that know everything, you know what I mean? So also, for me, since I'm a contributor, my advertisements would be for the Drop Squad Kitchen. You're going to see advertisements for my store in there. You're going to see advertisements for my products, like I have seasonings, I have condiments, because a lot of times, you know, we go vegan, but we don't have our own ketchup, our own mustard, our own mayonnaise, our own salad dressings, our own seasoning. So, like, that was what I put in this magazine. You're going to see fashion spreads in there, and you're going to see, instead of seeing the new Air Jordan, you'll see clothing line from Ferranicart Brands in there. And the photography is done by one of our own, Rita G. You'll see spreads in there of other sisters that look just like us with natural hair designs and representing other different brands.
Wonderful.
You'll see advertisements in there for Guerrilla Republic. We are a major organization that focuses on hip-hop and education of our youth in the urban centers. So you're going to see all of the various different events that we put on in that magazine and
so
how to find
the event. So we're going to see a lot of information then. Sorry for cutting you off, but I got
no,
to get
no problem.
This point in. Jack, point in. Also concerning God Hop.
Yes. Well, that's, you know, I'm an ambassador for Guerrilla Republic, and
right.
I am the queen mother of God Hop. So,
that's
of course,
right.
God Hop is in there. I personally edited and did my sister Cy Rock's article. And in this article, you know how a lot of times, what we asked, well, not we, I'll say it because I'm the one who did it. What I asked the artist, Nehruvi Selah, Soul Messiah, Cy Rock,
right.
Methuselah, all of the people who are part of the God Hop movement, I said, listen, we could go on SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, YouTube, and hear your music. I want to hear the intellect. This came down from Minister.
Right.
He was like, tell these brothers and sisters, we want to hear the intellectual side. Intelligence
exactly.
is the new gangster. Consciousness is the new gangster. Being smart is the new gangster. So what Ciroc provided us with was what she had to say about Nicki Minaj. That, to
no.
me, that's amazing. You know what I mean? So that's
yes.
what her article is about.
Word. Right. What about the other system, which that you also are connected with, in which that you play her music on your show all the time? And matter of fact, yes, now Ruby. And matter of fact, speaking of your show, you know, tell everybody about your show too, and also yeah, get back to now Ruby before we can get to her, because I'm pretty sure we like to hear some of that consciousness come out of her too.
Now, Ruby is a teacher. Now, Ruby is deep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
She started out with the spoken word and all that type of stuff. The thing that I like about Nairobi is that we could even more better relate to her lyrics because they're more down-to-earth, you know, rooted in what's happening. Like, she's got a song called 6 O'Clock. She's like, you turn on the news and it's 6 O'Clock. Brother's hitting the street. Sister got raped. It's, you know, blah, 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 blah. We can relate to that. Where Sister Sarak, you know, she might be like, the mothership is coming, the Nebuchadnezzar. A lot of people don't know what that is. You know what I mean? So all of us, in the conscious community, but Nairobi can reach people because she's talking about, she has, like, clips in there that she was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm all about this lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? I'm about that hair, weaving about the fingernails. You know what I'm saying? And it's like gunshots. Like, no, we ain't trying to hear all that in these days and times. Sisters, y'all need to step your game up. So we're going to hear that side of her that deals with how come all the twerkers, how come all the sisters out here and the brothers out here that are disrespecting their women and their children and stuff like that are not being addressed, but we want to spend all this time debating about stuff that don't help us with upliftment. That's the type of stuff that she's going to bring.
Mm.
We also got Nene Ali. Nene Ali is only like 14 years old. She's a hip-hop artist. We've seen her with, you know, KRS-One. We've seen her with Guru. We've seen her with everybody. She's also she's in the magazine talking about rethink poverty. Like, just because we're conscious don't mean we got to be broke. That girl's only, like, 16 years old writing articles, and that's in the magazine.
Mm.
And she's Guerrilla Republic.
Excellent. Oh, man. I can't wait. Matter of fact, when it's getting ready to come out, when we need to see the first issue, what's going on with that?
Well, we premiered the first issue at the debate in Harlem with Lord Abba Ali, Muhammad, Seti, and Nasi, and we gave everybody samples. So we put that out there so they could just see a feel. But January, we're looking forward to come out this month. We wanted to do December, but, you know, this is our first project, and, you know, people, you know, God, that's why, you know, Minister Inky's, you know, with his family right now, so... in Atlanta, so, you know, people are taking care of their family business, so we're getting all of that type of stuff out of order, and, the, you know, magazine should be coming out in January. All right.
Well, that means I need to get mine, so I'm going to have to give you my email, my address for me to get it, because I do got an article in there, y'all. It was on RE3/5th Person,
too.
So, yeah. Right. So RE3/5th Person, that is one of the articles in there. From me.
Every time we got an article, like when we got your article, Minister Inky was like, yo, this might be the featured article. The articles were so dope that every time we got a new submission, it was like, oh, my God, this might be the best article. And we get in Bwebwe Shangi's article on what Christmas is, oh, my God, this might be the best article. You know, then we get Phil Valentine's, oh, my God, this might be the best article. Come on, we even got King Noble, oh, my God. Like, do you see the diversity in this magazine?
That's
we even
right.
got the Hebrew Israelites from ISUPKs up in there.
Well, there we go. So that means we're getting ready to bring the family together, and that's what we need.
Exactly.
You know, if we're going to say common unity, then it has to be about unity, but it can't be nothing common. You got to be dealing with common sense.
Right.
But nothing common, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely we need to do that, and I appreciate y'all definitely putting this together here. Speaking of the debate, you said y'all was there. You was there. What was your philosophy about what took place?
Philosophy as far as what aspect?
Just as far as in the doctrines, the dogma, the rhetoric, whatever, you know, you might have picked up or, you know, wanted to expound on or whatever the case is.
I did think, I do like the debates. I do want them to be more organized, and I feel as though they should be more solution-oriented. I think we should be debating about something, a project that we are working on in the community. So let's say, like, I'm doing a show tomorrow, Bun and Shaw Worldwide, Thursday, you know, Blog Talk Radio with Lord Abba. This is the second time I'm doing the show. I did it a few years ago. Like, to me, we should have different houses of Moors coming together talking about do we need a Moorish American party? You know what I mean? And why? And if we do decide based off of the debate on who wins, why, how are we going to help this brother do it? To me, that's what we should be having a debate on.
Mm-hmm.
Sonetta has asked me to debate on polygamy. Are we for it? Am I for it or am I against it? to me, that's something that we
right.
can talk about so we can get, you know, our lives together as women. And just like it's already been stated, this is what the conscious community today has decided.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with us, then you're down with us, and this is how we rolling. Or you not, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, I kind of like it, and there's room to grow just like anything else. However, I feel as though if it's not put in the hands of the people, then like what happened to jazz, what happened to hip-hop, what happened to the debates, because we hot. Everybody's looking at us. Everybody's always been looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an opportunity also for us to get our finance up because we put these various houses together. And if we don't take advantage of this momentum right now, it could be lost. And, again, it would be just another capitalist opportunity for us to sell consciousness to the unknowing. So that's my philosophy about the whole debate thing. Now, I did the post-debate analysis on the show, and Sonetta was on there. He helped co-host the show, and he was so humble and listened to everybody's suggestions and gave feedback and stuff like that. So that's good. Now, as far as the brothers debating and things like that, Lord Abba, to me, was out of his league at the time. He was a rookie. Even though he came with the heart, he came with good intention. I feel like it was a loss for the Moors and the Moorish American community alike, because you had two Moors debating each other. Also,
right. There
I didn't see unity. First of all, I was the only sister I saw up in there with a turban. You know what I mean? I was the only sister I saw that was representing us Moors. That was upsetting. Then I saw a whole lot of other Moors, and all they wanted to do was fight the brother afterward, talking about Lord Abba. They didn't come to support him. They came to be like, we are the grand body, and you don't have the right to speak on such and such.
Mm.
I didn't like that.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Wow.
And the question would have been, well, where were you at, right?
Exactly. Lord Abba can handle his own. The other thing that I didn't like was, and I said this, I was just like, see, this is an opportunity for us to help each other out. I've already asked certain people in the community that are very well known as far as if I'm going to have to do this debate about polygamy. I'm on the side for polygamy. I've asked some scholars in this community to point me to the direction of books, people, families that are successful, all types of stuff to help me with this. Like, I need the community on my side. That's on my side. And, Lord Abba didn't have that. He didn't have, and it's a shame because to me this is an opportunity for us to act as delegates to our organization or ambassadors even more to our various entities, organizations, and nations. So we should have had all the grand bodies represented there, and they should have been there for one purpose, which was to uphold Prophet Noble Drew Ali. If anything else, that's it. So what happened is Ali Muhammad put out some very, I thought, good points, and they weren't rebutted because the brother was a rookie, talking about Lord Abba, and he wasn't prepared, period.
Right.
So that's my take on it. Now, this is another thing that I think that people need to realize. I'm like, yo, just because you might be right, if you're not able to prove it in the debate, then you lost that debate. It doesn't mean you lost the war, but you lost that particular battle. So let's stop being emotional. Let's start dealing with the fact that you lost the debate because A, B, C, and D. You did not rebut. You wasn't prepared. Your presentation was all in wingdings, you know, stuff like that. You lost. It doesn't mean that you're not right, though.
Right.
Now, as far as the other side, I feel as though Sadi, you know, brought another Asher Kwesi presentation. He brought, you know, the same stuff that we're used to seeing. And his rebuttal was all using the Bible, which I felt like helped helped Brother Nasi. I thought Brother Nasi was prepared and answered every single question. So, and also I like the fact that I saw that even though there were all different houses of Hebrew Israelites there, or should I say Israelites there, it didn't matter if they were warring 2 minutes before. They all showed solidarity when it came to Brother Nasi.
That's right. That's right.
Could learn a lesson from that.
Right.
Right.
That was my overall view of everything.
Well, right. I mean that right there was basically some of the same things, the analysis of which that I heard in the conscious community after the debate. And, of course, that's still going to be debated, you know, from here until it's pull off of YouTube, you know, whatever the case may be. So we definitely want to give a shout-out to Lord Abba for, you know, coming to the defense of Prophet Noble Drew Ali and trying to do his thing there. And also, you know, to Ali for bringing up some excellent points in which that needs to be talked about, you know, understood, overstood, understood, and so that we can definitely move on, you know, to another level of this information here. You know, I was criticized some years ago because I spoke about the fact of, you know, of us, you know, turning Noble Dre Ali into an idol worship. You know, and that was some of the things that I felt were some of the problems. You know, because coming from me sitting in the audience of Temple, you know, having a nationality card from the Temple, and then me branching out, you know, coming into, you know, other conscious centers and knowledge and, you know, information and being around others who had information and knowledge and reading, you know, hundreds and thousands of books. I mean, it just comes to the same analysis, which Prophet Noble Dre Ali already told us, in that Allah is within you, you know.
Exactly.
And once you realize that is basically the ultimate thing, we'll get beyond the, you know, debating point, you know. There's nothing in which that we have to debate about that, because, you know, the difference between life and death is someone who can breathe. And if the person is no longer breathing, you know, and then, you know, they have passed on, then something has been released from their body, you know, based on the breath aspect. And the fact is that Prophet Noble Dre Ali was one of the first to come with that information as far as, you know, to the black, you know, so-called conscious or Moorish, so-called black community, in which that he told you that, you know, the holy breath, you know, that is what we're supposed to be teaching. You know, as revealers of light is the science of the holy breath and Allah in man. So those are two components that we need to be teaching. And here we are still debating history, you know, then that is going to be somewhat of a problem, you know, just rectifying that matter on history, because none of us was born at that particular time period, so we're all going on speculation. You know, but if we can move beyond that, we can start dealing with something like this that is definitely more relevant. And that is the book. So, and that's why I love the magazine title, Ba, Breath and Air. I mean, that is, that is fantastic right there. You know, I mean, that is what we need to be dealing with. And that's what, you know, you know, everybody who's coming together is dealing with, is the real science of what's really going on. There's nothing higher than the holy breath. You know, the holy breath is the mother of
everything. Exactly.
So once we begin to start realizing that, then we start dealing with those aspects, you know, from those particular angles, and get away from all of this.
Right. Right. You have some.
Yes,
you have some brothers and sisters still want to stick to that they are black. You know, one brother mentioned like, black is not always evil or wicked or bad, which is true, but you still can't relate that to people, you know. I was reading in the Northwest Dictionary last night, and I saw black as being an adjective. So people are not adjectives. People are nouns and proper nouns.
An adjective is a noun, by the way, brother, just so you know. An adjective is a noun.
African?
No, I was just reminding you that an adjective is a noun that describes a person, place, or thing.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to, I'm not causing no beat, but, you know, I just wanted to, you know, remind you that an adjective is a noun.
Is a noun? Okay.
Yeah, an adjective is a noun that describes a person, place, or thing.
Okay, well, they had black as an adjective.
Mm-hmm. Which is a noun.
It's a noun.
That describes a person, place, or thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but black also, black is also a color, right?
Right. Which is a noun. A color is a noun.
Right. But people are not colors.
No,
or
but people are
crayons or Crayolas.
A noun is a person, place, or thing. But I know exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm not going to get into that debate with you, but I'm just saying when we, especially when we're teaching, because I have youth, I have my children that I homeschool, I'm like, I have to teach them these things. So I do teach them grammar since we do have to have a command of this language if we're going to utilize it in order to express these things. So I've had to find other ways in order to make this point to them. And my daughter will tell you right now, she was like, you know, I ain't never met nobody that's black. You know what I mean? So I know what you're saying. I just wanted to add that point in, though.
Okay, but you, but you don't consider you do you not consider yourself
black?
I'm a
Moor.
Okay,
saying,
okay,
what are you
exactly,
about?
Exactly. Okay, okay. I just got to do some more studying. That's all.
No, but you're right. I think it's the delivery sometimes in how we teach people. So I just wanted to have that. So if you get amongst other people that try to shoot you down for that matter,
right.
you can already be like, yes, I already know. An adjective is a noun.
And
but
I thank
we
you for that too.
Cannot continue to use that status as it refers to us, especially when we're dealing with 14th Amendment status and when we're dealing with United States, its corporation, and all of its subsidiaries, you know, or any of its franchises.
Right.
We have to know how to behave in contract, period.
Right.
And we're not
right.
going to be able to do it with the black status, period.
Right, right.
That's how I speak to people.
I had a conversation with a Chinese woman. Young, I told Aleem about it. And I asked her, when you fill out applications and documents and things of that sort, do you, when they get to the point where it says race or whatever, do you put yellow? And then she frowned. She frowned up and she said, no, with a loud no. I said, well, why not? She said, because people are not colors. You know, she said, I know people call us that. She said, I know that people call us that, but that's not who we are.
Did she tell you what she wrote?
She said she put down Asian.
Proper. And that's what we have to do with our children. We have to teach them what to write down.
Exactly. Exactly. And he said that I asked her, well, what do Asian mean? I already know what it meant, but she said earth-centered people. I said, oh, okay. And she said sometimes she put out, if a nationality, she put down either Chinese, which I knew she's not. Actually, she's Manchurian. Because a lot of Chinese don't know that they are Manchurians. No,
right.
They don't know that.
Right.
The corporation is China. You
right.
know, the country is Manchuria.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them don't know that. So, yeah, but we had a pretty good, interesting conversation, you know. And so what do you have to ask us? What are you saying? People are not color. So you saying I'm not black? And she said, no, you're not.
What did she say?
She did.
So what
did
she say
you
were?
I told her, I said, I'm Moor. She said, Moor. Then she got lost. I said, I'm a Moor. I'm an American Moor. Or I'm Akatan. I'm a Rockin. And she said that she got real confused. She said, I broke it all down to her, what I was talking about.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right, but you know what? You know what would have been good to ask? What would have been good to ask was, what do you refer to us in your language?
Yes, that's what I want. I was hoping she was going to say that.
Uh-huh.
Right. Of course, that's what happened with me when my wife and I went to Mexico. I asked a native Mexican, you know, who was, you know, he was related, you know, to the Mayans. And I said, well, how do y'all refer to us in America as, you know, us, you know, so-called blacks? And he said, well,
niggers. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he didn't say that. He said Moreno.
Okay.
Right, he said Moreno.
What?
And I said,
I love it.
I said Moreno. And so I asked him, I said, well, why not Negro? He said, Negro is an object. You know, so yes, it's a person, place, and thing, but yet it describes a thing, an object, but it don't describe a person. So he was like, Moreno is more defiant. And so I said, it's Moreno. Now, of course, I already knew, you know, all of the history behind it, but the fact was that I got it from him in his native tongue. You know, so if you see her again, ask her that question.
I'm definitely going to see.
That would be interesting to find out. And right, it might not be nigga, it might be naga.
Right. I'm surprised that lady didn't say, we call y'all the Madras or something like that in China, you know what I mean? Because
right.
We definitely have, you know, it's definitely proof. They've even talked about how, you know, we were the original so-called, you know, I don't want to say, but, you know, for lack of a better term, we're the original black Chinese. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm getting me a little education tonight, I see.
Yeah, you can look up, like, the M-A-D-R-A-S, you know, all of that. They called us, like, the Madras Indians and stuff like that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And, of course, you know, that goes back to Ethiopia.
Their own scientists, they've got all types of articles out. You know, I love reading stuff about this. Like, they've got all types of articles out. The Chinese proved that the first inhabitants of China were black. Chinese originated from black East Africans, not the Peking man, you know, stuff like that.
Exactly.
They were Moors, you know what I mean? And they were referred to as the black people of the north, and they were the original people of the land, period. And when they talk about it, they referred to them as Moors, and then they broke the universal or umbrella term were Moors, but they had different tribes of Moors, and then they had different names to define them as that.
So that explains why they have that huge pyramid in China.
Everywhere we have gone, right, everywhere we have gone, you can see how we left our mark, and you will see pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that don't have pyramids are the so-called Europeans or the Caucasians.
Exactly.
That's right.
They don't have anything, you know what I mean? We've got stuff everywhere that we have ever been. We were the first to be drilling oil all tight over here and over there, like everything.
The guy, he heard the term black European, you know.
What
I'm
the
like,
heck is that?
Black European. I'm like, you know. But I kind of figured what he was talking about.
Right, right. The so-called black nobility, right, of Europe.
Right.
Well, we go back to the black Moors. You know, you go back and watch the movie with Martin Lawrence in it. You know, what's the name of the movie? Black Knight.
Yeah.
He was called Moor. Right, he was called the Moor throughout the whole movie.
Right, he was. With Martin Lawrence.
Right.
Is your chat open?
Yes, it's open.
Well, I can't get into the chat. I was going to post some links in there for the brother.
And what now?
Okay. Not links, but information on my blog. I'm signed in, but the chat wasn't coming. Every time I come to your show, I can never see the chat for some reason. Remember I told you that before? Oh, here it is.
Right.
I think it's coming up now.
Got it?
Yeah, I had to refresh my browser. I think because I came on like at 7:55, you know?
Okay.
So the chat probably wasn't open yet.
Okay.
Right, right. Well, I'm going to let you do that. We're going to go to a commercial right quick. And when we come back, we're going to continue on with the conversation.
All right. Hey!
First World Order Radio, finally, we are on the air, no doubt. All right. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. We get on into some of that order consciousness tonight. First World Order Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. We got to talk about what is taking place on this planet. There's always going to be somebody in the building on First World Order Radio. First, we need to let you know we're going to be doing more shows, giving out more information on Wednesdays. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we are now going to make this the hottest day of the week.
Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the group based on value with natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the thing that your thoughts transmits it. Proceeding levels in time, order, importance. The most prominent parts, voices, or instruments. Earthly state of human concerns and existence. An indefinite multitude, quantity, or distance. System regulates to bring about specifics in the group based on value with natural characteristics. Current radiates electromagnetics of sound through the thing that your thoughts transmits it.
You need to understand how magical this, something like this every Wednesday can become. So you need to start getting your calendar right, get your schedule right. You need to know our intention straight out.
All right, so, I mean, these clues are given throughout the various languages for us to piece the puzzle of this ancient history school back together again.
And what we plan on doing, both of us, is bringing y'all some surefire dynamite. We're going to take this level up a notch. We're going to have stuff to do here. This is not just going to be about philosophies and theories. Shit that works.
You have an activated pipe in which have produced this black chemical called melanin.
What we did was gave a hard line in the sand between the different definitions of esoteric study and exoteric study. Playtime is over.
No doubt. Playtime is over once again. First Water Radio, we back with your host, Dr. Alimel Bey, co-host, Brother R.L. And what we're going to be doing right now, we're going to be going to the phone lines. For those that have questions, call in at 626-414-3535. That is 626-414-3535. Let's go to the phone line right here. We got area code 804, area code 804 on the line.
Peace. Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to bring this forth. You know, it's a new year, so let me just let the cat out the bag. This is how I feel. You know the story in the Bible of Cain and Abel. I think the real breakdown of that, you know what I mean, would be Naga versus Moor. You know what I mean? I believe that we all are one family, but you do have a family that went through the slave thing. You know what I mean? There's no getting around that. Now, you got brothers and sisters that are saying, we Moors, all right, that's fine, okay? But there's no way that you can get around the slave thing, the horrific thing that we went through, all right? There's no way of getting around that. Now, we all speak about the ancestors inside of us, you know what I mean? The ancestors, they reside in us, okay? These same ancestors are telling every last one of us, I don't care if you are saying you more, that's fine, you know what I mean? And if you are saying, well, you know, the slave thing is not something that we should, you know, base our root on or stand firm on,
right.
You know what I mean? But this is what our ancestors, every last one of us, you know what I mean? If we dealing with our ancestors for real and we dealing with our Orishas, we know that they are telling us, you know what I mean? This hurt us. And we got a problem with that. You understand what I'm saying? And it's brothers and sisters out here that didn't go through what a lot of us went through. Okay? But this is where the separation is. You know what I mean? You got family that didn't come here on a slave ship, and you got family that did come here on a slave ship. Okay? Where is our medium? When are we going to stop saying, oh, that's leave that alone, when it's affecting one side of our family the way it is? You know what I mean? Brother Aleem, I feel you. You know, you say you're more. I feel you on that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I know, brother, that you feel the ancestors in you. You know what we've been through. And it's in your heart. You know what I mean? And I'm not even going to say you're a brother that's straddling the fence. I'm feeling the need to speak this through you. Like, I could go on anybody's show and speak my feelings, but through you,
right.
I feel like that you understand where I'm coming from when I'm saying what I'm saying. Where is our medium? When are we going to start respecting the fact that one of us, one side of our family did go through it and one side didn't? And
right.
when it's rooted back to the motherland, that same side put us in it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the Hamite and the Kemite are two different tribes, but one is more on a higher level than the other. You got just that whole. I believe the whole Nile region, not just the Nile River, not just the Nile Valley, the entire Nile was of that Kemetic family. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So when are we going to start dealing with that and stop, you know, making it like, well, it didn't happen this way, and the other one said, well, we know it did. The evidence is there. How can you, you know, this is what the beef has been.
Right.
So, you know, we need to deal with that.
Let's get
I want to respond to him.
Right, because we know there was a Holocaust or an African Holocaust.
Right.
There's no
right.
doubt about that. There was a great Maiafa. There's no doubt about that. All right? What some of the Moors are referring to is that the Middle Passage, as far as to the extent in which that European had led us to believe, did not happen the way that it happened. Now,
right.
we ain't saying there was no colonization. We're not saying that there was no enslavement on the African continent and then taking those Africans from out of Africa and spreading them throughout the diaspora, throughout Europe, you know, in particular throughout England, Ireland, Belgium, which is the Netherlands, France, you know, all of those countries participated in slavery. And then for those prisoners who was let out of England, all right, because that's who was let out, with those prisoners. They was the worst of criminals there within England who was let out to come here to the Americas. They took that over, and they also participated in the so-called slave trade. Now, I'm going to tell you what historian, what Dr. John Henry Clark said. He stated that there was approximately 250 million that was decimated, all right? But it was just not in Africa or in the transatlantic slave trade, but here in the Americas. You're forgetting that 90 million of us was genocide. Blankets with smallpox on it right here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we ain't talking about, you know, we're not talking about just, you know, the over 10,000, you know, to 100,000 lynchings in which that occurred.
Right.
And the castrations
right.
in which that occurred. All of this took place over a 500-year period. But remember,
that's right.
If you go and read Johnny Cochran's book, he estimated that 25 million so-called blacks died during the slavery in the United States. Now, we
That's
know
right.
that slavery was supposed to have been abolished January the 31st, 1865, but
mm-hmm.
guess what? Slavery never ended. It never disappeared.
That
yeah,
that's
still
I mean,
on.
Emancipation, brother. You got emancipation.
Right.
Emancipation doesn't mean freedom. Emancipation means the removal of physical shackles. That's all that means.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
But
so we know what that means. But at the same time,
right.
at the same I don't mean to interrupt. Excuse me, brother. At the same time, you know what I mean? It's not something that we can just ignore. But at the same time, deal with somebody saying, "Well, you know, don't don't, if this is where your history starts and this is where it ends, all of that, like, we understand that that's not where our history started. But at the same time, like, you know, where does it come from where a brother or sister could say something like that and, you know, just, like, totally just wipe that to the side? You know what I'm saying? This is where the beef comes in at. This is where the problems come. This is where the confusion comes in at.
Right, but see, you was asking about a connection point. Let me tell you the connect point. You go to the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People, in particular the Inter-American Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. Let me read the definition of Indigenous peoples to you. And this is where we all connect that, regardless of what you want to say it happened or didn't happen. Because once again, I said that in the beginning, that can be based on information all day long. But real analysis is based on that bar, that breath, that air, in which that's the magazine they were talking about. But even more important than just a magazine is talking about what is that is what resonates throughout you. But here's the definition, Indigenous people. In this declaration, Indigenous people are those who embody historical continuity with societies which existed prior to the conquest and the settlement of their territories by Europeans, as well as people brought involuntarily to the New World who freed themselves and reestablished a culture from which they have been torn. Now, in both definitions, those who were the eleven, those who did not have slavery ancestry, as well as those of the 15%, you know what I'm saying, of the slaves in which that came here into the Americas, then we're talking about the merging of both is within that definition of being indigenous. Regardless, we are still the oldest people on the face of the planet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wanted to add, too, Brother Aleem, that I think that it's also a spiritual thing because when you talk about we're talking about everybody, you know, like we are the medium. We are
the
medium. Our ancestors aren't something outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
it's not about you. I know you can feel the people who can't feel and can make blanket statements like that are people who don't recognize that they are their ancestor. It is proof that we are here through our DNA. It is a fact that we are our ancestors. The same goes for the Orisha and the angels. I am an Obatala priestess. I made Obatala in 2003. When I came into my understanding, I realized that Obatala is not an existence outside of me. When people say Obatala in your head and stuff like that, I am Obatala. My mother is Oya. I was brought to my mother via Oshun. All of that is within me. The people who can't tap into that and want to put it off as this is Vodun, this is Yoruba, this is Ifa, this is all of that, they don't get it. So therefore, they can't tap into the very same spirits. And we are the same people that sold us into slavery. We are the same people today. So
that's
those same people talking shit then are the same people talking shit now. The same people who were Moors then are the same people who are Moors now. And the final statement that I had wanted to make was that I think I lost my train of thought because the brother was going in. He was saying so much. But there was something else I had wanted to add in, and I lost my thought. So never mind.
Let's get back to another story. Like, for example, the 13th Amendment, which supposedly abolished slavery in the United States, but it states specifically neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime.
Right, for
and
crime.
And while we got 65%. Right, 65% of the prisoners are so-called black, Moors, Asiatic, whatever term you want to use, is our people in it. You know what I'm saying? And so we're talking about 65% of the damn prison system is being ran off the blood, sweat, and tears of our present-day ancestors who is in the damn halls of damn the penitentiary. So slavery has never ended. We're still dealing with it.
Like, exactly. That was my whole point on emancipation.
Or whether it's mental slavery, they still exist. And remember, what the sister was talking about, too, is that you're talking about a segment of people who are calling themselves Moors who probably just came into this information and never really did the real study or research on it, in which that if they did, they would become more holistic in their thinking. Right now, they fragmented and they're linear. They are utilizing their left hemisphere of their brain, which is only about 2 to 10%. You know what I'm saying? In order to become holistic, you must begin to start using more aspects of your brain. You must begin to start looking at it from a holistic point of view. You can't keep looking at it from a fragmented point of view. Like the brother said, it happened. So how does it fit into the scenario with everything in which that is now being or now is coming out? Simple, brother. Only thing we're saying is that Africans been here for over 10,000 years, which is shown by proof of a group of people known as the Omecs. Prior to them,
yes,
you had a group of black folks, as they say, of the Fosum. Was here 75,000
the
Omecs
carbon dated? Didn't they carbon date that?
Yeah.
Honestly, that means that they don't know how long that shit been there. Excuse my French. They don't know how long that been there, bro.
They don't. But they give you the estimate of about 5,000
years old. Yeah, at least 10,000 years old.
The point is, we are carbon
years old.
People.
But the point,
that's what's
right,
crazy.
But the point
we're
is,
carbon people.
Right, and the point is that if I keep going back, I can show you in a book called Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremor, who dates that we were already here 2.8 billion years ago on planet Earth and 600 million years ago right here in the Western Hemisphere. So if I keep going back, only thing I keep finding is me. So it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you like this, God. If wherever there's a pyramid, all right, we civilized.
Right.
That's right. Exactly.
That's why when anybody calls themselves trying to trace our history, they can't. They cannot trace our history.
They can't. I could go into a million things, but I ain't even going to tie it up like that. Peace and love, y'all.
Peace and love.
Keep banging. You know what I mean?
All right.
Keep banging.
Appreciate you. No doubt. We will.
Peace.
Appreciate that, brother. We're going to go to back to the phone line. Area code 614. Area code 614. You're on the line.
Hey, how you doing, Arlene Bay and
Peace God
Abundance and Bay?
How you doing?
Hi, Vandria from Ohio, and good work on that magazine. I'm just thinking, like, it's a good thing, but what about like the post conference wrap up or feedback? We got to wait to the magazine to get you guys' point of view. I just think that's the you know, conundrum when it comes to a paper magazine, when you have YouTube and you have all these other things where you can get instant access to information or, you know, people's
points. The magazine did cover it. We covered it on Abundant Child Worldwide. So we're online and offline. And it's covered
cool,
on
cool.
YouTube. Yeah, so we covered it. Like, do you know, like, I had Sonetta was the co-host. I was on there. We had Lord Abba. We had Ali. We had everybody on there.
I was online. I listened to it. I called in. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have the paper one. I mean, I just don't understand the paperback version of the. You know.
Well, it's one is because we don't own Blog Talk Radio. We don't own Facebook. We don't own YouTube.
We don't own YouTube.
This is something that we have the opportunity to own. Not only do we have the opportunity to own, we have the opportunity to give people jobs. When people come out, one of our best, he just talked about 60-something percent of us are locked up. That's our workforce right there, you know. So they can come out. They don't need to go work for the corporation or anything like that and be able to try. We don't need to be trying to solve problems with any entities that still propagate the ideas of the people who oppress us. So people come out. You have your automatic marketing distribution. You have your automatic salespeople. All of that. Also, it's a way for people to get the information. Everybody's not on these social networks, and we realize that. The people who are like my parents' generation, 60 and 70 years old, my parents still get a newspaper. It was so interesting to see my mother and my father and my aunties and my uncles' eyes bright up and read these articles in the magazine and was for real about it. They were not getting this information from Blog Talk and Facebook and stuff like that. So it's just a piece that we're missing, and we don't control any percent of the media. We do now with this print and with some other entities out there that, you know, own their own radio and stuff like that. So we just felt like we could start somewhere, and this is one of the easiest ways to start.
Oh, okay, thank you for clearing that up for me. That's excellent. Well,
you're welcome.
And Brother Liam, I know you're coming to Ohio, yay!
All right,
right.
No doubt. We're going to be there in February.
23rd. So can you bring some yellow dock, wormwood, and your chakra stone?
All right. All right, I will bring,
okay,
bring the whole herbal, no doubt.
Okay, because I'm looking for those things.
All right, I'm going to bring them.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you guys, keep up the excellence.
All right, yeah. Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you. Peace.
Peace.
All right, we got area code 510. Area code 510, you on the air.
Yes, did you say that the Dogon's New Year was June 23rd?
Well, around that time, around the so-called, you know, summer solstice area, yeah.
Okay, so would I basically celebrate it from the 23rd to the 25th? Can you give me, like, a time?
Oh, the
20th. Like,
well, the 21st through the 23rd. The 21st through the 23rd.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. Peace.
All right, now.
All right.
All right, we got area code 561. Area code 561, you're on the line.
Peace, brothers peace. And sisters. This is our
peace.
Life.
Peace, God.
Yeah, peace. Hey, big shout-outs to Dr. Lean Bay. You know, this is from all the way in Palm Beach. Ryan
right.
Hotel. Okay. Yeah, we talked about this on Facebook before about the physicist that's talking about that the universe is nothing but a big projection. Remember that?
Right.
Chat. So I just want you to go in, you know, the panel to go in on that about the big projection that has been projected to us, you know, the hologram. You know, these guys, they're talking about this on the HuffPost.com. They're talking
right.
about that the universe is nothing but a hologram.
Right.
So, you know, you guys have been talking about this, you know, for many, many, many years, all the way back to the 80s, you know.
Right.
So a lot of people, they just want to kick in as soon as, you know, they see, like, this internet post on there with the white man saying, oh, yeah, now they verifying that this thing is a hologram. So I just wanted to just put that out there so that you guys can go in on there, the gods and the goddesses.
All right. Well, go and get the book by Michael Talbert called Holographic Universe. He was one of the ones to first put that information out. You can actually look at some of his YouTube clips in which he breaks down that information about it being a hologram, that there was a so-called one atom, a single atom in which that what is called the Big Bang, which is this evolutionary universe in which that we are in. But what it is that we're actually living in a multi universe. And it's going to the fact that there are many universes, or what is called multiverses. So this is not the only one. You know, there's parallel universes, as we were saying. And they all being projections, as we would say, from the mind. It's the mental. Go back to Tahuti. First principle, universal principle, is called mentalism. So all is mind and everything in the universe is mental. Well, that's all it is. It's dealing with mental energy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it is what is producing what we refer to as ideas, thoughts, images, visualization, so on, even consciousness, you know.
They were trying to say that because gravity comes from the inside, that we have different vibrating things that exist in the nine different dimensions of space and in a whole different other time where real life is supposed to exist in the universe without gravity. So what he's saying is, like, on that other dimension would be the dimension of the mental, and then we have the dimension of how everything manifests in the physical. And so that's why they're trying to say that it's coded into a two-dimensional surface. So they... That's how, like, actual science works. that's how we work. And so they were saying that the universe is built in a similar fashion. But really, because we are carbon original beings that that actually operate the universe with our consciousness and our genius and our brilliance and how we define that, the universe expands and contracts based on how we are. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
They can only break it down into a hologram. However, this is really real. It's just that we're not tapped into that.
Okay. Okay. Something like the Matrix, how he was tapped in, but they were trying to say that he was actually living a lot, but he was actually tapped in. You know, the sister the sister that actually created the whole.
It's like a black hole. If you examine, like, the energy of the black hole, and you could look at the position of its event on the horizon and its entropy, that's how you can tell, you can understand the internal energy that we possess and how we come from dark matter and how it corresponds to the lower dimensions, as above, so below. Same thing as far as our minds and our thought dimensions and how we manifest on the physical. The universe does the same thing. So as we operate on a higher dimension, the universe expands. When we don't and we just operate on the lower frequency, this frequency that the Europeans have created because they have nothing, they don't have what we have, and we mimic everything that we do, it contracts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't know.
Now,
that's
the way it is.
What'd
one more
say?
Question for
the panel.
That's deep. One more hit for the panel. She's going in tonight.
This is going to be in the next magazine, y'all. Holographic Universe by Abundance Child. So get it right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to copy what I said on tonight. I'm going to go listen to the show and copy it. I'll be saying sometimes, y'all.
Hey, but it made sense, and it fit right into everything and we should be talking about. And that's the spirit. That's the whole science. We can download information from the cosmos, because that's the Akashic Records. We got that. You know, it's ours. So.
Wow. So one more question for y'all. Okay, how y'all feel about the actual Khazarians or the Jews versus the Jesuits? You know, I'm not trying to get into the conspiracy theories form, but could you agree that the Jesuits and the Khazarians are the same people?
Well, this is what we can agree on, is that the Jesuits is a society. The word Jesuits means society. Society of Jesus, which is
the
Catholic.
Right.
The assassin branch of the Vatican, you know, which that actually is controlled or is over by the so-called Black Pope, you know, and the new one sits in the position now. I can't remember his name right now, but he sits in position, you know, and so the Jesuits, as far as they're the ones in which that control, you know, the banking, and also the so-called intelligence programs such as the CIA and different other M16 and they control these so-called secret societies, and they was able to put themselves through Freemasonry is by, you know, a person by the name of Adam Weiser, who was also a Jesuit of the Ingolstadt University. He was a professor there, and he came to the Americas allegedly based on a book it's called Cosmic Triggers by Robert Wilson, Robert Anton Wilson, in which that he stated that Adam Weishaupt actually was George Washington, and that George Washington, the real George Washington, was killed off. And Adam Weishaupt took his position and was the grand master, you know what I'm saying, of the lodge here, you know what I'm saying, in the Americas, as well as also ended up holding not just the position of general, you know, or command general, or commander, you know what I'm saying, of the army, but also became president of the United States. So, you know, if that is the case, then we're looking at the co-op, or the coup of the Jesuit priesthood, you know, through Freemasonry. Now, are the Freemasons, the Khazars, who we know as the so-called Jews, or a
group,
you know what I'm saying, in which that is connected to the Jesuits based on the fact that the Rothschilds, all right, listen, that the Rothschilds are Khazarians, they were converts, and they are the ones who was the financiers of the Vatican. They are the ones in which that controlled the money of the London Bank. Also, they financed the Rockefellers here in the Americas, Rose in Africa, who ended up killing 25 million Africans. You know, they financed that. And the Rothschilds are worth almost $900 trillion. So when we're talking about Oprah, when we're talking about, you know, Oprah, or we're talking about Warren Buffett, or, you know, or any of these people, that ain't shit. We're talking about $900 billion,
and none of that's even real, Dr. Arlene. None of that. We allow it to seem real. Like, what is that?
Right. I think that's not that much money.
That's the illusion.
Right.
That's not because it's not that much money on a planet. So, you know, that's got to be an illusion.
So
basically, like in real easy terms, so you understand, the so-called modern-day Jews, like all the modern-day Jews, are really the Khazars, and therefore they're not Jewish, all right? Not in blood, not in DNA, not in pedigree, not in their descent. They're not entitled to the birthright claims of their land, because we know that that is our land, you know, period.
Exactly.
And that the Vatican, the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, all those people who dominate and everything that he's talking about right now, are all in cooperation with everybody, and they're so-called, and they purport to be the dominant rulers of the world. So you got the corporation, and then you got the people. You got the company, and then you got the people.
Exactly.
Right.
Like I explained earlier,
you got the workers.
Like China is the corporation, and Manchuria is the country, as I explained earlier. You know.
You got the Grand Sheik back there.
It was the Jewish Rothschilds and the Illuminati that was set up by the Jews, and then the Merino Jews who took over the papacy. Then you got, like he said, Weishaupt turned against the Jesuits and started working with the Rothschilds, and then it could keep going on and on and on.
Exactly.
So basically, they're all Europeans.
Right.
Yes.
Right. They're converts. They actually are part Mongolian slash Russian. They're actually Russians, you know what I'm saying, who converted into Judaism after the burning of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And if you get the book called 13th Tribe by Arthur Kessler, he states in there that the Khazars didn't further convert, that more of them converted around 740 AD, you know what I'm saying? So that is where they come from. We know that the Falashians, or the so-called black Hebrews, you know what I'm saying, or the African Israelites, you know what I'm saying, are the original, you know, followers of Tahuti or Jehuti.
Exactly.
Where the word Jew come from. The word Jew come from Jehuti, you know, who is Tahuti, you know, who's the god of wisdom, you know.
Wow.
And that's what, you know, that come from out of ancient Africa, you know, from Africa, you know, which is now the mouthpiece of Africa is Egypt, you know, so... That's what they're really talking about. This is why they had to draft themselves on into a story that they came from out of Egypt, you know. So, you know, that's the whole thing about them, is that they take stories and they make it real in order to fulfill purpose, you know. But yeah, it never points back to them in any historical fashion whatsoever.
Now, here's my last and final thing is, I want y'all to go in, please. This is teaching a hotel. You know, if you're going to go in with this Dracul, this blood sacrifice, you know, because I hear a lot of preachers and folks of the religion sect, they always say, let me cover you under the blood of Jesus. Let me cover you under the blood of Jesus, you know. So this blood to me, that's like that the God that you're serving is blood sacrifice. He desires blood to deliver whatever you asking him for.
Right. Well, you got to look at it like this, is that that whole concept comes from Africa in its origin. The whole thing of the Old Testament and the blood sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, that is African. You know, throughout any of the African religions, whether it's the Ikan, the Han, the Ifa, the Yoruba, Congo, right, which is dealing with the Mekongi and the other Palos, all of that deals with animal sacrifice. So that is an African custom and tradition, in which that found the way within the scriptures because you was dealing with an African people. And in order to demonize it, I'm saying, the European make it as if they're not the the cannibals that they are, you know, in regard of the consumption of life in which they, you know, do this at. You know what I'm saying? But when you look at, you know, Africa and you look at these traditions, they understood what they was doing with these sacrifices, and it's that blood symbolized life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm not justifying
right.
it.
But
because life is abundant all around, because actually you're dealing with prana, which happens to be the color of red. And prana being the color of red, when it's concentrated, is the color of blood. It's blood, actually. So, you know, what they was doing was that in order to have concentration of power, they would use these animal sacrifices. Is it necessary to sacrifice animals? No. If you learn science of breathing, which is that bar, that breath, and that air, that magazine, you know, that you talk about that science of that bar, you wouldn't have to depend upon an animal sacrifice, but you would be able to revitalize yourself without any animal sacrifice. And it goes to the New Testament. I mean, think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to be a human sacrifice, you know, for people who mainly don't accept, you know. That is a preposterous right there within itself, you know. In the Old Testament, we see God almost giving a human sacrifice with Isaac, and the Muslims say it was Ishmael, actually. But the Hebrews don't say that is Isaac. Isaac was on the altar, and Abraham almost sacrificed his son, you know. Instead, God stopped him and gave him a lamb who got his whole caught in a bush, you know, and told him to put the ram on the altar and sacrifice it instead. All right, so that was almost the sacrifice for Abraham, in which that symbolized the word Abraham itself, the father of many nations, all right, or the father of the many seeds, all right.
Mm.
Abraham symbolizes actually the sperm within males, within the males. Right, within the testicles. That's what it actually symbolizes, the life component within you. All right? You take Abraham as being something in which that is actually, that actually lived. And that's not what the story is actually based on. It's a metaphor, it's an allegory. All right? But we get caught up into these allegories and make them real because we want to justify our belief system. Okay.
Right.
But if we look at it from an esoteric point of view, it begins to make more sense. Because God given, by the New Testament, God given his only begotten son, and he may die for us, and then we have to go and do a cannibalistic ritual every month in, you know, in church, you know, called communion, and then we have to take a cracker, you know, which is symbolic to the flesh of Jesus. And then wine, or in this case, grape juice, you know what I'm saying, to be the blood of Jesus. You know, this is something in which that doesn't make any damn sense. You know what I'm saying? Unless you take this to an esoteric principle and perspective and understand that it's talking about Jesus is actually Yahshua, which the word Yahshua, which is Aramaic, or he who saves, but then the word Yahshua takes you back to the first begotten of Atum in the Kemetic scriptures, which Shu means the personification of air. If you get the Kabbalistic book called 777 of Aleister Crowley, in his book 888, Jesus Christ. When you look on the periodical chart, the eighth element on the periodical chart is oxygen. Oxygen has eight protons, eight neutrons, eight electrons. So Jesus Christ symbolizes energy in which that is the force in which that is hidden in oxygen, which is the breath of life. All right, which is the breath of life. So the breath, which is centripetal and centrifugal force, which is inhalation and exhalation, is what holds and composes your physical body. All right?
Mm.
So that's why in the European tradition you have a deity called Ishu Legba. Ishu Legba. Ishu. Ishu symbolizes the four of this role, which is actually talking about your body, which is the cross itself. Two legs, the two arms, and the head. What's been the 5% head, which becomes Allah or Obata. Which symbolizes Obata in the head of the body, which is talking about your mind. It's Ori, which is the mind or the brain, the head, which rules the physical body. That's
Keep
all telling. This is talking about symbolism. The symbolism. But we have tended to perform rituals and ceremonies and without the explanation of what these things really mean. And this is our downfall as a people, and this is why we have a lot of things. This is why Stevie Wonder sung the song Superstition. Here we are believing in things in which that are superstition. We got a lot of superstitions in which that we need to rectify in this community.
Now,
the
goal when Kabbalah encyclopedia talks about the Jesus number happens to be 666. You know, but you teach about this all the time.
And
about
what is that? And 666 is nothing more than talking
right.
about carbon.
Yeah, you're talking about the carbon.
Carbon original. Right, that we are carbon original beings. We are carbon beings. The Europeans, carbon
right.
based beings. But we are carbon units. We are carbon beings.
Mm.
Right, so 666 symbolizes the physical body itself. Yeshua,
right.
Jesus, is the physical body. This is, that was symbolic to the word made flesh in the book of John. The word made
exactly.
flesh, you're talking about the way in which that the body is the flesh. The word comes from out the lungs. You know, the lungs deal with breath. It deals with insulation and exhalation.
Mm.
That's the only way you can speak a word is by projecting a force from your lungs in which that gives you the ability in order to speak, which is part of the breath apparatus. Part of the lungs. Part of the respiratory system. Right.
Go ahead, Ollie.
When you sneeze, when you sneeze, what's the sound you make when you sneeze? You sneeze, you say, Yashoo. Now, how in the hell are you saying, look, none of you Negroes went to, none of y'all went, heck, as children or babies, had damn sneezing classes. Nobody taught you how to sneeze. But yet, we all say the damn same sound.
Right, the same
and the
sound.
The word that made flesh or the sound that made flesh is Yashu. Yashu is Yahshua, Jesus, goddammit.
Come on, Ali.
Went in back in the '90s about the different sounds, you know, the different sounds of healing, you know, the different, you know, the vowels, you know, the different vibration levels and everything else. And I recorded that over and over. Listen to it. You are a master teacher by right. You know what I mean? So you go in on this shit, you know, and I'm talking about deep. You know what I mean? But go ahead and take your next caller. You know, I appreciate the panel, you know, on the Sheik, the Grand Sheik, and Abundance Child, Minister Inky. You know, we definitely appreciate y'all being out here, out on the ground.
Appreciate you, brother.
Study. Yeah, appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Thank you. Peace.
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 All right, we'll go to area code 614. Area code 614, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Andrea again. So you said the New Year's for the Dogon is in June? July?
Right. Right, June 23rd.
So what's up with Mark?
You can get a book called The Serious Mystery, written by, I can't remember his name right now. Serious Mystery, you get that book, and also The Serious Connection by Murray, Hunter Murray. And you can get those two books in which that speaks about during that time period. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's going on with the spring equinox then? What is that?
The spring equinox basically is for, you know, for us, you know, for those in which that live within the region in which that just works to change the season during that time period. Everybody don't have the same seasonal change or time. I mean,
oh,
in Africa,
okay.
Right, you know, in Africa, you know, they near the equator, so it's hot all the damn time there. So real seasonal change because it is running year-round. So they don't, you know, that's only in a place here within America where we start seeing around March 21st that we start seeing the trees come back to life and so forth and so on. So
exactly.
That is pertinent
yeah.
to us. Right, pertinent to us here, but not to the people around the world necessarily, especially the ones in Africa.
Okay. All right, cool. And this is a quiz. What are you bringing to Ohio?
I'm bringing birds.
Yes,
wormwood. I got you.
And your chocolate.
I got you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Peace.
All right, peace. All right, we're going to go 803. You on the air.
Peace and blessing, my brother.
Peace, God.
Greetings.
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 Peace. Hey, greetings to you all. Yes, man, I just wanted to send my peace and love out. You know what I mean? Also, let you know, also, my brother Lean, man, I appreciate the work, and we definitely thank you, man, for all you do, my brother. You know?
We appreciate you all for listening.
Absolutely,
oh,
my
yeah,
brother. Must continue on the journey, you know? I'm calling out of Carolina. Yeah, my name
right.
is Green Marzell Bay, you know. And I just wanted to touch on a few things that you spoke about, my brother, which is much love and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I want to say I can see my brother just to add on in some respect. You know, within the conscious community, we have a lot of individuals that is showing the differentiation between these ways of life. And we know and understand
mm-hmm.
that these ways of life all comes from the original man. Whether we're saying the being Israel's, whether we're saying the Asiatic black man, we are all solidifying
exactly.
that, you know, we are the atom,
right.
you know.
That's
what
right.
the differentiation is
you
coming in between the people is everyone wanting to be selective and not deal with the
right.
initiative. And the initiative is that we must come together as a community to bring forth some unity. You know,
right.
from the aspects of these different teachings when it comes to the ways of these different scriptures or these biblicals or these chronicles, each of these particular teachings
right.
are clearly specifying the being in the first people, which are the original people, and that's the so-called African-American. So I like my
right.
brother in love when you speak upon Yahshua, so-called a.k.a. Jesus Christ, in the way in which these teachings are being solidified. Because we know we go back to the original teaching of these scripts, it goes back to our brother Saul and the teaching of Set and Haru, which only show the compilations of a teachings coming down through a dynasty. So I just wanted to somewhat add on, my brother, and allow you all to know that there are brothers and sisters out here who are not looking for the light. They're true and living. And we admire you, my brother, and peace to you all.
Peace, God. Peace to you.
That's my respect.
No worries. Let's go to the phone calls. Area code 773, area code 773, you're on the air.
How y'all doing? What's going
well,
on, man?
I'm well. Peace, brother.
Got a quick question. It's kind of you just got through going in about the breaths, and my daughters, they
right.
seen, they watching a movie called The Last Airbender, Have you ever seen that movie?
Good
now,
movie.
Okay, well, in this movie, it's about this little boy. He's the last airbender, and he has these ancient tattoos on his head. Basically, it's an arrow pointing directly straight to the pineal gland. And in the movie, the story is about the Fire Nation. The Fire Nation want to keep the spirit down, and the Water Nation wants to, you know, like bring the spirit up. So I guess the last airbender, I guess he's supposed to be in like the soul, right?
Right. Exactly. Because remember, earth, air, water, and fire, when combined, is ether, which is actually the soul or spirit principle. So that's how that all correlates. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the whole plot of the movie. He pulls a connect with the he's supposed to learn the different elements and connect with the Water Nation. And while he's doing this, he's meditating and he's talking to the dragon spirit, which I'm assuming is the Kundalini.
Kundalini, exactly.
Okay. Now I got another question too.
Yeah, I just said that by the I'm saying that he's the avatar, meaning that he's the master of spirit. He's the master of spirit.
Right. Right, and in the end of the movie, everybody bow down to him because he's the avatar.
Right.
Okay. Now, I got another question. I've been reading this book. You've heard of this book called Rama, by Rama Prasad, called Nature's Finest Forces?
Right.
No? Okay, now he goes in about the Akasha. Now, he's explaining how the Akasha is, like, useless on the earth plane. Could you go in to tell me, like, I mean, what's the reason for that?
Actually, he's not correct in that sense. When one practices or Tai Chi or Reiki or Pranic Healing, they are actually moving consciously through the things and the people in them, which is astral energy. Astral energy is feeding you as you perform these particular mantras, akaus, or etc. You know. You're being fed by
those
cosmic forces.
Okay. Because I was wondering, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, so actually, I know what he's saying, that if you don't know how to use it consciously, then it is useless because you have no consciousness about it, so therefore you need some type of conscious effort in order to utilize it. That's where the science of magic or the science of mind comes in at, is when you know consciously that there's energy or ether around you that you can move and utilize.
Okay. He also goes in about about different times of the day. If you breathe, a certain way, certain things will take place. Like if you breathe in incorrectly unbalanced, like from the left, and it's not balanced with the night, something like that.
Right. Well, I break that down in my Out of the Womb, End of the Mind book, where we definitely speak about that, is that in order to master, you had to synergize both hemispheres of the brain, and you do that by your nostrils, your left and your right nostrils, and bring them into balance. That shows synergy within both hemispheres of the brain. If one is more clogged up than the other throughout the day, then that means that you are dominant with that particular nostril clogged. For example, let's say if you wake up around 3 to 5 o'clock every morning, in the a.m., that means that you're having a lung problem. And based on whichever nostril is clogged up, usually the form, then what you have to do is begin to start doing some breathing exercise between the hours of 3 and 5, in which that will help with the synergy of that. You can do that through the oil and nostril breath technique, in which that you could breathe in for a count of 4, hold it for 16, and then breathe out for a count of 8, and alternate back and forth between the nostrils in order to synergize the hemispheres of the brain, and also cleanse out the mucus in the lungs, and re-energize the body. So you definitely have to master that, because based on whatever problem is going on in the body, you can definitely tell that by the difference in the breath, based on the clogging of the nostril. Left nostril symbolizes the left ita, which is called the sacral nerve, and then the right nostril symbolizes the pangala, which is the right nostril. And both of those are symbolic to the Jesus story of Jesus being the shishuna, which is the little pillar, and him being between the two male factors, the two thieves. The one on the left said, if you be the Christ, we can get just down from here, which is symbolic to the eater. And the one on the right said, remember me this day in paradise. You know, so that is where those concepts come from, is right there within that depiction of the imagery in the Bible itself. It's told in the Sanskrit innovative text from Boogie Masters about how to bring those two opposing together. That's the same as the red and the blue ground on the ancient Egyptian of Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt, which is symbolic to the lower self and the higher self.
Okay. One more question now. And if you go back to the glossary of this book, it says the K is the symbol for one of the nadis proceeding from the heart. Now, is this why the K is special? You know, like you look around the different corporations, the K is special. You got Special 38 and, you know, is that why?
Right.
11, you know.
Right. Well, if you count eight, is what number in the alphabet?
Eight is the I.
Right. I'm talking about K, right?
K is 11.
Right. So 11 means master builder.
Okay.
If you look at numerology, you would see the number 11 to mean master builder, someone who is very psychic. You know. So
okay.
That's the reason for the number 11. That's why it's special, because it symbolizes someone who is able not just to build on the earthly plane as a mason, but also Freemason, which means also the ability, you know, to build on the spiritual plane.
Okay. And is that similar to the Kabbalah with the sun, the intelligence of the sun being 111?
Right, exactly.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right,
we got 10 more minutes left. Any closing remarks? God is abundant.
Yeah, I was thinking just from some of, you know, the other callers that, you know, a lot of our problems would end if we just really get organized. We're not organized. We got this capitalist mentality, even though we in the conscious community, we have to get rid of that. We can't be working for these people. We can't act like it's cool to be accredited by any of their institutions. We can't come into trying to liberate ourselves with any of their ideas. Like, we have to really take into consideration everything that you're talking about on your show and how serious it is. Like, when we talk about the metaphysics, like, it don't have to be no far-reaching reality. Like, it's really real. We just have to really know who we are. We have to believe that everything that we have is within us, and we got to go deeper in ourselves to find our authentic self so that we can find our authentic solution. We can't be in bed with these other people. We can't be in bed with these other entities that are not us. And so we're going to have to get organized as a people, and that's pretty much my final words.
Okay. Brother L, you got any closing remarks?
Yes. Dr. Aleem, she's right. We can't be in bed with people that do not have our best of interests at heart, because they can't, because their culture and their nature won't let them, for one. And also, I always enjoy being on your show and listen to sisters like Sister Inky here. And I got quite a bit of
abundance.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm abundant.
Abundant sound.
Yeah.
My brother Inky, he's with his family tonight. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I always learn something new every time I come on this show, because I'm still in the early stages of learning. And other thoughts, we do need to come together as a people and as Moors, you know. If a person want to call themselves black, I have no problem with that, as long as you don't try to push it on me. You know, you know, other thing that I'm,
what you're saying is that a proper noun is the name of a person, place, thing, or title, and that a proper adjective is a proper noun or a word derived from a proper noun. So that's what she was saying. And definitely looked that up, Brother L, and that alone would probably, you know, like she said, that clears out a whole lot of information for people if they start doing the research.
Right, right. So, like I said, I'm always learning some new information on this show, and that's why I always stay on this show. You know, I never try to miss this show, you know.
Right,
it's almost
right.
like a high to me, you know. So, looking forward to us talking on the next show next week.
All right. Well,
I'm looking forward to you coming back, sister.
Thank you.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, also, Sister Abundance, tell them your time for your show and everything. And, tell the audience, you know, if we can get that out. And also, tell us once again about the Breath and the Air magazine that will be out January. There's already some preliminary copies of which that some of our might have gotten last week. So, you know, tell them on that right there.
Okay, you can listen. You can find me at abundancechild.com or on the same network, blogtalkradio.com/abundancechild. Please listen to me any Thursday night between 8 and 11 p.m. Of course, my episodes are on demand. This week we have Lord Abba, and we are talking about the Moorish American Party. And is this really a solution for our people? And how what's going on with it, how it's being organized, and how you can help if you want to. Breathe Air, breatheair.net, BREATHEAIR.net. It is an Amber Institute Revolution publication via the Amber Institute. So you can look out for that. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. So, yeah, just, you know, look for us on those social networks. Also, you can find us on YouTube. That's where you're going to see the coverage. Like when we go out and we go to these events for the sister that was like, how relevant is a print magazine? She's absolutely right. So, you know, we're not dumb. You can find us on Facebook updating stuff. You can find us on the Abundance Network because Minister Inky does a show on the Abundance Network. You know, most high willing, he'll still be doing that. And also my network, you know, so we're all partners in all of this. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's how you can find us.
Is it just on the YouTube, or do you have a telephone number? The same?
No telephone number, but the YouTube is Breathe Air, B R E A T H E A I R, Couture, C O U T U R E. Same thing with the Instagram. Same thing with the Facebook. We have a group. So people can join that group if they're interested in submitting publications and things like that. We really want people to get in on the ground floor so that we own this magazine. We take ownership in how it actually comes out. So, you know, we really do need the people's assistance because we do think that this is a good unifying factor. You know, we get in debates and all types of arguments and stuff on Facebook, and we're using other people's platforms to go against each other on YouTube. That's not going to happen in Breathe Air.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly, because that type of mentality is linear. So, yeah, the magazine obviously is going from a holistic perspective, and that's where we need to keep it at. And no doubt about it, we appreciate you, Sister Abundance Child, coming to guide us. And, of course, you know, we'll be on your show whenever you need for us to be, so just keep us in mind. So, L, appreciate you coming on another time here. And I think we got they bounced out the room. I thought there was another call, but they bounced. All right, I'm going to go on close on down, and the song for the night is basically Brother Nas, Damian Moore, Patience.
Yeah. One right here. This one right here is for the people.
I believe, smart as dummies. Can't read the language of Egyptian mummies. On a flag or a moon. And can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. I say the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages, on TV the picture is. Savages and villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids. Stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in the Indiana Jones. And I keep all the gold, and keep all the scrolls, and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see, and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord. Are we born knowing all? We growing wiser? Are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, if you went too far you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again everybody would have start laugh. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Tell us teach in universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get stitched up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with a wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now? Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw so over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. A fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. Like a military soldier, since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang.